Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 82 from August the 21st of 1993. I'm sitting here with Doc and Hardbody Harper this week. We're actually recording this son of a gun on a Sunday night, February the 25th, 2018. We usually record these on Fridays, but Doc and I had a case of the cooties, and we couldn't talk on Friday, so we had to reschedule this shit and do it today. So we got to get going because Doc and I got kids to put to bed and all that stuff on a Sunday night. So Doc, we'll keep it short this week on the opening. How you doing, man? You good?
What do you think it would have sounded like if we had it on the show as pilled up as we were? Like two, I was texting you, they didn't make sense. When I got back, didn't make sense. We were pilled up like two 90s wrestlers, man. We should have recorded that and put it in the vault for later. Well, that might have been a lost treasure.
That might have been a good idea because we were fucked up bad. We were both struggling with a sore throat. Both of us had the same thing. We got diagnosed by our doctors with the same thing.
Upper respiratory infection. That's what we get for kissing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, T-Rex, from the workplace.
Well, about a month ago, I told you, I predicted this. And what happened?
You were right. You were right.
T-Rex and Sean Hart. Line up, I told you this was coming. First of all, we'd like to welcome in Harper from the moon. And second of all, just so I don't forget. Hey, what did you say the date is on this episode?
August 21st, 1993.
So if there were working schools and anybody would be interested, the young children of the Smoky Mountains would in theory be heading back to school right about now, right?
Yeah, right. In theory. You're an
now
asshole.
We know that's not the case.
You're such an asshole.
They're too busy. They're out there in the field throwing meth down, hoping it'll grow in the crops.
Stop. There's a lot of great people in the Smoky Mountains, man, and you just shit on the guys, dude. Hopper is on the moon. I'll tell y'all a quick story real quick. Right. So we think Hopper's sound card in his computer has just died, and that's why he sounds so...
What the fuck?
That's why he sounds like... Remember Ric Flair's old podcast back in the day when he was on the moon doing his show?
Oh, God. Yeah.
So that's why Harper sounds like he's somewhere else, and we'll leave it at that. That said, let's Harper, how you doing? You okay this afternoon?
I'm doing great, man.
So we're hey BTT
let's
Army.
Do this shit.
We're trying to convince Harper, and so we need y'all to jump in and help us here. Hopefully, this will have already happened, but you know sometimes it takes a while. Harper doesn't believe Mike and I that it's cheaper to buy a new computer than to take this gimmick to Best Buy and have them put in a new sound card.
Yeah.
It's not a live show, bro. Doc, so they're not going to answer us right now. But
But what I want is all of our nerdy listeners to tell Harper how to install a sound card on their own.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't do it, Harper. Do not install it on your own.
What you need to do is you need a really good jeweler set of screwdrivers and...
You're an asshole. So if the audio is not all that great, that's why. And you know what? Forgive us. Let's get into this thing. So here we are with Les and Dutch Mantel. Bob Caudle's not with us this week. Les and Dutch are on location at Freedom Hall in Johnson City, Tennessee, for Fire on the Mountain 1993. This actually took place August the 14th of 1993, so a week earlier. There is a reported 1,400 people on hand to see this. Just wanted to put that out there before we get going into this thing. So the rundown of the card they give us, which is a coal miner's glove match with primetime Brian Lee versus Tracy Smothers, Big Boss Man versus Kevin Sullivan, Chris Candido versus Tim Horner or the highlights. Lastly, we are told that they have been barred from airing Rage in the Cage, but they will have an interview with Cornette on Down and Dirty. And don't worry, I'll give you the results of Rage in the Cage at the end, but I wanted to point that out. They don't actually show this. Now, you can go on YouTube and look up Fire on the Mountain 1993. The entire show is there. I think it's about 2 hours long, so you can see it there. Doc, any thoughts from the opening here?
I did, in fact, this very afternoon watch Corny get his ass whooped at that event.
Well, no, but that wasn't that Fire on the Mountain. Keep that in mind. That was
I get confused, man.
When
they
was
got
that?
Too many, They got too many events.
It's confusing. It's very confusing, and I'm glad you pointed it out. So here's what you got to remember. Fire on the Mountain was on August the 14th. So keep that in mind. Fire on the Mountain was on August the 14th. That was the one with the Rage in the Cage. And Boss Man and Sullivan work each other on both. I think Candido and Horner work each other on both. The Coal Miner's Glove, though, was on Fire on the Mountain. And then the Rage in the Cage, again, was at Fire on the Mountain. But then the K-Town Showdown was August the 20th, 6 days later. And that's the one that I'm going to talk about later on in the show, where Bob Armstrong goes up against Jim Cornette in a Lumberjacks with Tennis Rackets match.
I'm just ready for the...
With the Boss Man as the referee.
I'm ready for the Big Apple Grapple.
Oh no! So we'll talk about K-Town.
No, that's a real thing, pal.
It's a real thing.
They go to the Apple Festival in one of these shithole towns and have a grapple fest at the Apple Fest.
Stop, Doc. Boy, you are salty on this Sunday, man. You just come out firing at fucking full force about fucking these fucking hillbillies. Leave the hillbillies alone.
I went to church this morning and I got all forgiven for everything. So now I can start piling them back up again.
You know, for the record,
yeah.
We're just like New Orleans hillbillies or just like ghetto hillbillies. I mean, there's no difference. It's just,
it's the difference white trash.
Yeah, I mean, well, no, the difference is color of skin. We're all fucking poor. Anyway, let's keep going. Oh, boy, we're off to a running start. So we already talked about Dutch and Les Above. They jump into the first match, and you got to remember these matches. They don't have enough time to air the full match, so keep in mind when I go through these matches what we're dealing with here. It's Jimmy Del Rey versus Steve Armstrong in the opening match from Fire on the Mountain. Remember, the winner of the match gets the advantage for their team in Rage in the Cage. Now, as we said the first time we did Rage in the Cage a few months back, the rules are too damn complicated. I get them. I understand them now, but I think if Corny had to do it all over again, he'd probably keep it a little bit more simple. That said, to summarize this quickly, Cornette gets involved with this match with his racket. He hits Steve Armstrong, and then Cornette holds Armstrong's leg while Del Rey pins Armstrong to get the victory. Doc, you got any thoughts from this match?
Just that jacket that Corny was wearing. Good God, that was a crazy-looking son of a bitch.
Oh, the Louisville jacket?
Yeah.
Corny looked great.
That was some awesome early 90s get-up. And nothing other than, I thought these two guys worked really well together, and I thought this was, and for what we saw of it anyway, was a really good short little match.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, yeah. You got to remember, this is a big show, so they're going to go out there and, I mean, they're going to go out there and put on a hell of a match. What did you have from it, Harper, if anything?
Yeah, the same thing. It was a good match, and, I mean, it looked good.
They almost went 8 minutes.
It was a good way to start. They almost went what?
It almost went 8 minutes from the records that I have. Real time, not actually from what we saw.
Okay.
You know, and Del Rey has picked it up, man. You know, he came in that first week and we were like, what the shit is this? But it seems like he's like got his sea legs going pretty quick and he's making a valuable contribution. Next week we'll talk about an even more valuable contribution. But he's been a quick study here.
Well, he made Harper question his sexuality when he first came in. Remember that, Harper?
The line to the right. Whatever.
Ladies, the line is to the right. Yes, sir. Mm. So after this match, they do take us to a quick local promo. Doc, I hadn't planned on playing it, but I'll give it to a vote. What do you say?
It's your call. Yeah, go ahead, dude.
Okay, here it is.
Heavenly Bodies against Scott and Steve Armstrong in a cage one-on-one. Jim Cornette against Bullet Bob Armstrong. And for the heavyweight title, the Mongolian Stomper coming to Barberville to try to take the title away from primetime Brian Lee with Tammy Fitch.
Right. You know, I'm really getting sick and tired of going to these disgusting little towns. I mean, Hazard on the 27th, I have to see these people again. They're disgusting. Then we have to go to Barberville on September 4th, and we have to wrestle the Mongolian Stomper. I mean, God, he's so old, and he's so ugly, and he's bald, and he looks like he lives there. I mean, he looks just like all these people, and he doesn't have beautiful blonde hair like Brian, but he's gross. I don't want to go there, Brian.
Tammy, don't worry, baby. Mongolian Stomper, I can't... First of all, it's going to be surprising if you can find Barberville, Kentucky on the map. You know, you're going to bring your 127-year-old butt, come down there, try to beat the champion. No way. Tammy Fitch is going to be watching my back. And I tell you what, I've been in the ring with you before as my partner, and you have like 3 or 4 brain cells left. Well, primetime Brian Lee, that's what I have. See, I got my thinker here. I got the bronze here. Step back, fat boy. Let me talk. Get in my way. And then my goal in Stomper, I'm telling you what, Barberville, Kentucky, if you get there, you're not going to leave. But I tell you what Primetime and Tammy Fitch are going to do. We're going to come in champions. We're going to leave champions. Isn't that right, baby?
That's right.
All right, Doc, you wanted me to play it. What'd you have from it?
I thought Sunny was awesome here. And she capped it off with that, Brian. Dude, we've all heard that before.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I'm lying about that.
And so, I mean, that's just... our name ain't Brian, we're all Brian here, right? And so there's that. And PBL messed up at one point, said he only had 2 or 3 brain cells, too. And I really pick on that, except he was really good on everything else in this. And when he kind of pushed the guy out and said, move out of the way, fat boy, I mean, he was really, really good. I thought both of them knocked it out of the park here. And I don't blame Sonny. I wouldn't want to go to these stupid towns either.
That's nice, Doc. Harper, what'd you have for
Yeah. me? I love she says, he looks like he lives there. That was great.
That was
That's
awesome.
What made me fucking laugh. He looks like he lives there.
Let me tell you, man, we've been saying it every week. She's getting much better in primetime Brian Lee as a heel.
Yeah.
He is so much better as a heel than he was as a babyface.
Oh, so yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll go to the next promo. So right after that, remember, that's a local promo. That had nothing to do with this exact show, but still good stuff. They play a promo with Chris Candido in the building at Fire on the Mountain in Johnson City. So here that is.
Fans, this is the match where the loser must drink from a baby bottle on the way to the ring is the suicide blind Chris Candido.
Tonight, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Fire on the Mountain. Wrestling the way it used to be and the way you like it. Well, it ain't the way I like it. It sure as hell ain't the way it used to be. Buddy Rogers would roll over in his grave if they knew they were sticking the real world champion in a match where you got to drink from a baby bottle. Well, tonight, Tim Horner, I'm going to show everybody that I'm not a crybaby. And I'm not. I'm okay. I'm going to show everybody that you're the real crybaby tonight in Johnson City, Tennessee. I'm going to show them why I'm the real world champion. They wouldn't stick Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan in a match where you got to drink a baby bottle. And I could be either one of those guys. I'm the WWE world champion. I'm from Jersey, for Christ's sake. But tonight, Tim Horner, in about 2 minutes, you're drinking from that bottle.
There you have it, fans. Let's go to the ring. Suicide Blonde Chris Candido and Tim Horner.
All right, Harper, I'll throw it to you first this time. What were your thoughts on Candido there going to his match at Fire on the Mountain against Tim Horner?
I'm surprised when he brings up Hogan and Flair. I mean, he didn't hear shit like that on TV back then.
They're the world champs too.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was shocked too, but I thought, I was like, that's actually good because – why not poke the bear and say Hogan and Flair at that point? Why not, you know, mention those names just to kind of see if you can get a rise out of people? I mean, hey.
Well, yeah. Also, they're world champions, and so am I.
Right.
Yeah.
Which as ludicrous as it is, he's a heel, so that's fine.
Right.
So I agree, Harper. When he said that, I was like, all right, Chris, go ahead. That's some good stuff.
See?
Yeah. Doc, what did you have from it? Anything else?
Man, he covered a lot of ground there, too, because he also brought up Buddy Rogers and New Jersey. And the fact even his tone when he first started was really, really good. I mean, it was like Big Show atmosphere. He's a guy that, man, he's green, but he can turn it up. And he was all over the place with his emotions because he had to, like, talk himself back out of being a crybaby. I thought he was really, really good there, and he continues.
Yeah, I thought Candido was real good there. So, and you heard Brian Matthews there. They throw it to the match. It's Horner versus Candido. I got some notes, and then I'll get y'all to jump in and share your thoughts. So they don't show the entire match due to time constraints. I actually looked it up. This fucking match was 18 minutes and 39
oh, they say it.
9 seconds.
And somewhere I found that out. I found that out somewhere. Either they said it or I went and looked it up too because I was like, man, that's a
You could, it was a haul. Like, it was, they went out there and they, let me tell you, like, they don't show the entire match, obviously, for time constraints, but it's from what you can see on this, if you don't watch the full match on Fire on the Mountain, it was good. Candido got his high spots in, but, you know, but then I also felt he slowed it down, allowing the crowd to react. They only air 8 minutes of it. So the match ends when Candido runs towards Horner, but Horner semi-ducks and Candido goes over the top rope. From Mark Curtis's point of view, Curtis thinks Candido was thrown over the top. Excuse me. So Candido wins by DQ. Curtis had just been bumped to the floor, which we don't see on the TV copy we have, but I know that's what happened because I saw it on the other one. While Curtis and Horner are talking over this, over the decision, and Curtis is trying to find out what happened, Candido attacks Horner with the WWE title. Then Candido ties Horner to the ropes and makes Horner drink from the baby bottle. There's a lot right there that we can talk about. I'll throw it to Harper first, and you tell me your thoughts on the match and everything that happened at the end there.
Yeah, he fucking made him drink from the goddamn baby bottle. What an asshole. It should have been sour milk.
As a rib, in the old days, it would have been, right, Mike?
Well,
yeah.
What I was going to say was, we know the milk's been sitting out for at least 20 minutes because the match was damn near 20 minutes long. So
yeah.
If that was indeed milk in there, that was some hot-ass milk by that point. Ugh. In that building in the summer.
Here's one of Doc's things. Milk in any state, form, or anything else is fucking gross anyway. I don't care if it's ice cold. Milk is disgusting. Hot milk? Fuck you.
Yeah.
All right, man. My kids will drink milk, and they'll be in a bottle, and you go in there to the sink, and there's still like an inch of it in there, and it's been in there for like a day. I want to fucking Benoit both those little bastards.
Damn, Doc. Jesus Christ, dude.
Fuck. I told you, I went to church this morning. I'm all clean.
Oh,
now. I got
okay. So it's okay. You can you washed away the sins from last week. Time to right. Stockpile a fresh new fucking batch.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ. Harper, any other thoughts on the match while asshole over here wants to Benoit his kids? Fuck.
I would like to have him. I think it would have been cool if he would have unscrewed it and just poured the milk all over him.
I don't know. What is the word you use? Skeeting it on him was pretty gross.
Oh.
I see why Harper says
that's
that.
Nice.
Right. Hey, Harper, you're on to something, though. If it was spoiled, that would actually be a good rib because you dump
it comes
spoiled
out looking,
milk.
Oh,
God. You
all that
smell
clumpy
it.
Shit
comes
goes
out
in
looking like
hair.
Cottage cheese.
Yeah. You know, and Horner's got a fucking mullet, so you know he'd get mad because he's got clumpy cottage cheese, spoiled milk all throughout his glorious mullet.
The only thing that'd be worse is if he got jizz in that wig. But back to the match. Those two guys do really, really work well together, but I thought the ending was pretty goofy. But I don't care how goofy I thought it was. Did you see how hot the marks got after that?
The people are pissed. That's what you want. That's the thing.
And that's after 18 minutes and 40 seconds, too, dude.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what you
want,
man.
They did their jobs. They didn't lose the crowd there.
They did everything they needed to do. It served its purpose. It served its purpose. I was more than good with this, and this feud is not over.
No. We still have many more baby things we can do with this.
Oh, just wait.
Put a diaper on them. Put a bib.
Bruh, just wait
potty
a few
train.
Weeks.
Maybe Horner will get potty trained before this son of a bitch is over.
There's a promo in a few weeks that Tim Horner cuts, and if you think the one from Paul Orndorff was bad a few months ago, this shit is going to make you lose your mind. You're going to go, what the fuck did he just say? Because he fucks up the promo royally. And Bob Cottle's like, you're going to do what? And Bob Cottle's trying to give him the Iggy to say, you just fucked that up, pal. Can you come back? We're fucking recording. We're live in front of a live crowd. We're not live, but we're in front of a live crowd. So we can't say cut, retake, motherfucker. And you can see the wheels turning in Horner's head, and he realizes what he just did finally, and then he fixes it. It's a train wreck. But I popped the other day. I was watching it, and I laughed my ass off. More on that to come in the coming weeks, though. It's glorious. Harper, you're going to lose your mind. So after the match, though, Horner is now out here, and he's going to talk to Brian Matthews in the back. And this is a pattern that they do with Fire on the Mountain. They have promos before and after the matches. So here's Tim Horner in the back with Brian Matthews after he lost and drank the baby bottle.
Fans, we're here in the dressing room area. You just saw the match between Tim Horner and Chris Candido. Tim.
Let me tell you something, Candido. When you first got here, I thought it was all a big joke. I thought you was a joke, being WWA champion, being somebody. You're nobody. Let me tell you something, pal. You might have squirted a little milk on me, but I'm going to put some on you. It ain't going to be milk. You got a lot more to worry about than a little milk. You're out of here, Candido, and I'm a man that's going to put you out.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling is now offering open.
Hopper, what'd you think on Horner right there?
Well, that's not true. Because he lost.
What's not true?
That he's going to take him out and blah, blah, blah.
I think he means going forward. It's kind of his way of saying the match is this feud ain't over.
It's whatever.
Oh, okay. You did a shit on Horner. Doc, what'd you have from that?
I got something else I've been waiting to talk about for 80 episodes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know that commercial that you just went into there, or the one where, you know, we've all seen it like 300 times, if you would like to raise money. You know the young girl that's in it that's waving at the camera?
Oh, yeah, the one that's waving?
Is she the head cheerleader, or is she like the head of the class of the special class?
She's just a little dingy chick that, like, she's probably the only one that looks halfway decent. And they're like, here, come here, sweetheart. You want to be on TV?
But she waves her hands. The way she waves her hand is kind of special.
I'm going to let y'all hang out.
I don't know. It's like she's trying to seduce you or something.
Do you think – okay, so here's where I've been going with this in my mind.
Jesus Christ.
How much do you think she weighs today?
Oh, my God. She's probably – how many teeth does she have today? How many felony arrests you think she has today?
I would say that she weighs 273 pounds today.
You know what's funny is
she's probably pissed because she's going to get those fucking boxes mailed to the – to the house instead of the fucking food stamps.
Oh, God. No, we're not getting into politics, but I'll say this much. Raleigh Onwine, longtime BTC listener and patron supporter, he actually tweeted me a photo of that clip you're talking about with her. And I think it was a couple months back. I think he said something like, am I the only one who wonders whatever happened to this person or where this person is today?
I've always wondered what happened to her. And that kid with the hat that says wrestling's got a hold on me. I mean, where the hell is that kid at?
That kid's in jail.
Oh, come on, Doc. Jesus Christ. Dude, you really washed those sins away this morning, and now you're just ready to shit on everybody, huh? Fuck.
Okay. So anyway, I didn't think Horner was that bad there. He's all right by his standards, so there you go.
I thought he was good because he kept it short.
But I've been wondering that for about 3 or 4 months now, so I thought I'd bring it up today since I'm feeling extra
salty.
Whatever.
All right, so here we go. This is Kevin Sullivan. Remember, he is now going to be wrestling the Big Boss Man, but before the match, they throw it to a promo in the back of the arena with Brian Matthews and Kevin Sullivan. Here it is.
Here we are with the man that's known as the Master, Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, you're on your way to the ring to take on the Big Boss Man.
Mr. Law and Order, Boss Man, do you think you're going to apprehend me for selling aluminum siding and taking too big of a cut? Do you think you're going to get me because I'm a thief? Do you think you're going to get me because I'm a kid that took a joyride? I'm a convicted felon, hardcore. Beat me, whip me, strap me, I like it. Goosebumps will raise up on me. Boss Man, let me tell you this. You know, are you the Enforce-E or the Enforcer? What I'm going to do to you tonight in a few minutes will be criminal because I'm criminally insane. Ha ha ha.
All right, so, God, Sullivan's a nut. Doc, your thoughts first here.
Convicted felon, pop me, criminally insane.
Yeah, really, huh?
I've missed him. And I don't know why they're so mad at each other.
Boss Man and Sullivan?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's actually a good question, but Sullivan, well, Bossman was the one who first started talking about this. Like, Corny was bringing him in. So, Bossman kind of started it, even though they haven't feuded at all. They haven't seen each other.
Okay.
I mean, there's something to that, but, yeah. You're overanalyzing. Go with the flow.
That's what I do.
Go with the flow. Harper, what about you? What do you got?
Yeah, the convicted felon shit was fucking nice. Because, I mean, you would never have someone say that now. I'm a convicted felon.
Right.
I'm a rapist.
Oh, pull that audio, please.
What?
Pull that audio, please.
No, like you never. No, he's right though. You'd never have someone do that. Nobody's ever gonna say anything insane. Like, can you imagine somebody going on TV?
I mean, no one's...
I'm crazy. I beat my wife. What? Like,
yeah.
I was arrested for domestic violence.
Fuck you.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's why this show gives you what other people won't do, because I said Benoit earlier.
Yeah, okay. I agree with but this is crazy. You know, Sullivan's out there and he's insane. He's telling you he's a convicted felon.
But for every insane man, there's law, order, and justice. So should we hear about that side of the tale?
Yeah, let's hear from Boss Man.
That's right.
Before the match. Here Boss Man is.
Fans, we're here in the dressing room area in Johnson City with the man who keeps law and order, the big Boss Man. Boss Man, you're on your way to the ring to face Kevin Sullivan.
You know, I've been asked to come to Smoky Mountain Wrestling by Bob Armstrong to add a little law and order and justice to this situation. And that starts right here tonight with you, Kevin Sullivan. I hear you running around talking about you're criminally insane. Well, I agree with that. You're right. You're walking with the devil. Well, tonight in Johnson City, Tennessee, I'm going to beat the devil out of you. I want you to take a good long look at this nightstick, these handcuffs, the uniform, Big Boss Man. I am law, order, and justice. There's a lot of people that believe in me. And right here, right now, tonight, I'm going to make sure that you serve nothing but hard time. Because every man, woman, and child that believes in the Big Boss Man believes in law, order, and justice. And they want to see what's right, make sure it's done good.
Harper, thoughts on Boss Man?
He's had to drop the hammer on that motherfucker.
Sure is.
Fuck you, bro.
He sure is.
Mm-hmm.
He sure is. Definitely different promos there. One of them's a criminal, and one of them's the police about law and order and justice.
Yeah. He's fucking Marshall Dillon.
Yeah. Doc, what'd you have from it?
He's come a long way in 7 years.
No shit, I had the same note. You beat me to it.
Yeah, no, huh? From just standing there with the hat and the sunglasses on to this.
It's pretty damn amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing when you think about how far he's come. What else you got, Doc?
That's really it. I mean, you can tell, man, that's a guy that's been on this since... I mean, he was in WWE. He's got that big – he knows how to turn up his voice, make it seem loud, make it seem like a big event.
It's amazing when you look at him and those enhancement talent matches in 86 until now. Even the Great American Bash tour in 86 where he never speaks a word to now where he then goes into WWF and becomes a big star and here. It's like, God, that dude grew so much.
You know who went? You know who's come further in that time? Del Rey.
Well, that's true. Because
Del Rey was on our very first Saturday night we did as Jimmy Backlund, and he looked like a dead fish crawled into the ring.
Yeah.
He was skinny and pale.
And you should have seen him in Mid-South. He was even worse. Like as far as pale and skinny, he was even worse. But he's come a long way. He would have never made Harper question his sexuality back then.
No,
no. Oh shit.
Let me keep going. So, we got Big Boss Man versus Kevin Sullivan. Sullivan, I'll recap it and I'll throw it to y'all. Sullivan comes out first to his Gregorian chant. Then Boss Man hits the ring to the old Bad Boys theme and the shits the fucking fans pop. God damn.
I know somebody who was on that program.
Fuck, half that crowd's probably been on there. You probably still get SAG fucking checks.
Oh, gee. All right. Let's keep going. Again, we don't get the full match. We get an abbreviated version. Not much wrestling in this thing. They head out the ring rather quickly. And I got a note here. They go up into the stands. About the 27-minute mark, Sullivan appears to kind of hit a fan by accident or maybe on purpose. The fan shoves Sullivan.
Yeah.
I was waiting for Sullivan to pull a spike out of his trunks and fillet that motherfucker, but Sullivan Sullivan barely pushes him back. And then, do y'all have comments on that part of the match when Sullivan's getting into it with the fan hopper?
They got one fat broad, and you could tell like this is her fucking Super Bowl, man. She is enjoying this fucking shit.
Oh, it was her gold medal Olympics, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right.
She has a white t-shirt on.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Doc, did you have any thoughts on Sullivan in the fan?
How much liquid courage would you have to consume to pick a fight with Kevin Sullivan where he could probably just fillet you and get away with it because it's in wrestling?
Yeah, fuck that.
How many beers do you think he was in, Doc?
Man, I'd have to have had a 12-pack, and even then I'd have been like, nah.
What do you think he was drinking up there in the Smoky Mountains?
Oh, Schlitz or Natty. Well, they don't make enough money for Natural Light there. Maybe Milwaukee's best. But that's a Yankee kind of
beer. Schaefer Light.
Schaefer Light.
I've never heard of that one.
That's piss water. You know, back then, yeah. I don't know if it was time relevant, but they might have been drinking 40s of Bud Ice to get the higher. That's what white people used to do so they wouldn't have to drink the malt liquor bowl because that, you know, that's got the higher liquor content. Yeah.
That's some nasty shit. I remember drinking.
Yeah, Bud Ice has a higher fucking alcohol intent.
Man, that shit is nasty.
When you're poor, you got to figure things out. But they didn't want to drink the Schlitz malt liquor bull because that was for black people. So they had to invent Bud Ice.
Which is the same thing. Is that what you're saying, Doc?
They just took the Schlitz malt liquor tab and put a Bud Ice bottle underneath it and bottled it that way. It was the same shit.
Marketing 101.
Slap a different label on the same ass beer put it out there.
I'll keep going with the match. Sullivan and Boss Man destroy Les and Dutch's table as they fight back to the ring and then back out. Cornette eventually hits the ring apron. Boss Man takes Cornette's racket and hits Sullivan with it and turns around to pin Sullivan. Boss Man wins and gets on Dutch's mic and says, "That's what you call hard times." Doc, throw it to you first, and you give me your thoughts on, you know, from the fan getting involved to the end.
Well, I can go back even further than that. I love that Sullivan is billed from being from Singapore.
Yeah, I heard that too.
I guess he shares an apartment with T. Joe Kahn.
Yeah.
Where they lift, go down to the gym together and lift. Big Bubba was over with this crowd. His appearance popped the crowd.
Definitely agree. Big time. Anything else, Doc?
Yeah, my note here is I want to say fighting into the crowd was a big deal in 1993. Because, you know, ECW wasn't doing that every weekend or once a month at that point. So this whole hardcore revolution thing, I know that Tupelo, Concession Stand, whatever, or Memphis or whatever that shit is. But that didn't happen all the time.
There's something to... And there's people out here that I know and respect that are not going to agree with this. But there's something to Corny pushing the envelope in Smoky Mountain in a way before ECW did.
I agree.
There's something to it. I'm not trying to say they were like ECW because they definitely weren't. Their storylines were better overall. The totality of the promotion's run was much better.
And they're doing a lot of throwback stuff. But Candido was out there flying around doing moves that were not 1993 moves.
Yeah.
And pushing the envelope that way. Wait till the Moondogs come in.
Oh, now that's a train wreck. Harper, what did you have from this match? We're not far away from that, actually, Doc. Harper, what did you have from this?
I mean, they fucking loved him. I guess it was their chance to see a legit WWF fucking superstar.
These people
lost
their
mind. They probably got their money's worth.
Well, I have a note on that.
Yeah, man.
I think we may have the one guy in Bubba that you could say it would be these people's Hogan more than Smothers.
Oh, God, yeah. With that fucking southern drawl and all that shit. Jesus Christ.
I mean, he lives where they want to live, which is all the way up in Georgia.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I could see
he's
that.
He's been in the WWE. I mean, they all think they're law and order and justice while they're lynching black folks and doing that.
Hey.
What?
You are
asking for it.
Pissy today. God damn. Okay. Anything else, Doc, before we move to the next promo, which is Down and Dirty with Dutch and Jim Cornette?
No, I'm good.
All right, so let's go now to the promo. It's Down and Dirty with Dutch and Jim Cornette, and let's see what's going on here.
Boss man, come on, just for a couple minutes. Good victory with Kevin Sullivan. I'm just trying to congratulate you. Candy Graham, it's no use.
Jimbo, I didn't mean to scare you.
What are you doing, Dutch? I'm trying to get...
This is Down and Dirty with Dutch, and I need it. Still trying to get a hold of the boss man. I see what I want to do. I told all the people I was going to talk to you. What is going on in the life of Jim Cornette right here at this moment, Raging the Cage, Johnson City, Tennessee?
What does it look like is going on in the life of Jim Cornette right now? I'm beating my knuckles to the bone trying to get a hold of the big boss man. I just want 5 minutes of his time talk to him before the Rage in the Cage match takes place. Because do you realize that he's got the big boss man as a special referee. Now, everybody knows that me and the boss man go back a long way, but I haven't spoken to him in years. I've called him 35 times this week. He won't return my phone calls. I sent 3 telegrams. He refused them. Maybe he thought they were bill collectors. I don't know. But I just want 5 minutes of boss man's time because I got a few things I want to say. You know, the Rage in the Cage match tonight, boss man, and the K-Town Showdown coming up this Friday as we speak, Bob Armstrong is trying to finish me off, and I know what Bob Armstrong wants to do. I realize what he's got in his mind. You see, Jim Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, the Bruise Brothers, were poised on the edge of dominating the entire world of professional wrestling because everybody's seen that me and the Heavenly Bodies, we stormed up there to the World Wrestling Federation. And we stormed onto their television taping and we challenged the Steiner Brothers. Yes. We challenged them to defend the World Wrestling Federation tag team title against the Heavenly Bodies, and they accepted the challenge.
Yes.
And also, I've been aligned with Mr. Fuji and the great Yokozuna, the World Wrestling Federation champion. The Bruise Brothers, still the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. So Jim Cornette stands poised and ready to corner the market, to have all the titles, all the belts that mean anything in professional wrestling under one umbrella. But Bob Armstrong wants to ruin those plans. He wants to hurt the Heavenly Bodies tonight, him and his men, in the Rage in the Cage, so that they can't beat the Steiner Brothers for the WWF Tag Team title. Then furthermore, he wants to get me and he wants to get his revenge on me and at the same time prevent me from appearing at SummerSlam, prevent me from managing the Heavenly Bodies onto the tag team title, prevent me from being aligned with Yokozuna, prevent me from guiding the Bruise Brothers. So you see, it's like a house of cards, man. It could be stacked up this high or it could all come tumbling down. There's one key, and that key is who wins the Rage in the Cage. And that's why I'm trying to talk to Big Boss Man or do anything I can do. Because I'm standing here ready to dominate professional wrestling, and Bob Armstrong is the only man who can pull the rug out from under my feet. Now, Dutch, I got a lot of things
to do. Let me ask you this. Very critical time in your life, Jimmy. What you're saying, and let's shorten it up, it's either you or Bob Armstrong, correct?
That's exactly right. One way or another, it's going to be me or it's going to be Bullet Bob Armstrong. This place ain't big enough for the two of us.
Very controversial words from a very controversial man. Don't go away.
All right, Doc, I'll throw it to you first. So your thoughts here on all this.
I wonder, if I'm not mistaken, this is like really the first time a lot of WWF business has been thrown out in an interview. Is that correct?
To this extent, yeah.
And I just wonder how that was received and how it went over. I would imagine pretty well because nobody in this area was going to be smart, Mark, really. If it added an air of, it made it... Yeah, we're going to go up there and show that WWF, probably. The other thing is, we just got through talking about how innovative Smoky Mountain could be. wrestling I watched back in the day, you didn't go backstage to the locker room a lot. So this, you know, now they spend half the show back there. But back in 1993, that felt like you were in on something that, you know.
I don't know. They used to on, like, Saturday night's main event. I think.
Who watched that shit?
Yeah, they used to have, like, that like, fake locker room that was.
Yeah.
It was, I didn't watch that shit.
Yeah, because remember, that was the famous scene, Harper, where, that's great, Doc. Sit back and let the fucking boys from the real South educate you, fucking PhD ass. How's that sound, asshole? Harper, remember when, like, Macho Man, they did the scene with Macho Man and Hulk when they had the breakup with Elizabeth back there?
Oh, yeah, when she was on a stretcher.
Yeah, I mean, this asshole, thinks he knows everything, right? Let the dudes without the PhD educate you, Doc, all right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But no, anything else, Doc, while I'm screwing with you?
No, you educate me, pal.
Okay, good. Harper, what did you have from this with Corny?
I like when he says, maybe he thinks I'm a bill collector. It's the kind of, it's like a backhanded deal where, you know, he can't pay his fucking bills. But I'm still buddies with him.
Right. Now that was true. That was good. I enjoy Cornette here. He's begging, you know, and he's a heel, so that's what he's supposed to do, if you ask me. I thought this was real good stuff. Anything else, Harper?
No.
All right. So,
to hear him fucking mention the fucking Steiner brothers and all that shit, fuck, that was a big deal back then.
Well, just wait in regards to the Steiner brothers. If you're a Steiner Brothers fan.
Oh, shit.
Just wait and see how they intertwine the Steiner Brothers and just wait. The Steiner Brothers will be on Smoky Mountain TV. Let me just say that.
Oh, so, fuck.
I like this. Cornette is begging to speak to Boss Man after what just happened, and because Rage in the Cage is coming, where Boss Man's a special ref. You know, you hear Jim, like Doc said, talking about the WWF a lot here. We're just a... The crazy part is we're a handful of months from Smoky Mountain invading WCW and being on their pay-per-view to now, you know, Cornette with this deal with the WWF. So this is crazy. It's just kind of crazy, man. This little sleepy promotion in the Smoky Mountains has worked with the two biggest promotions in the world at this time, or in the nation. Let me say that for sure. Okay, let's keep going. After all of that with Cornette, we've still got the main event on this week's episode, which is Tracy Smothers versus Primetime Brian Lee. They interview Tammy Fitch and Primetime Brian Lee first, and it is followed by Tracy by himself. So let's listen to Tammy and Primetime Brian Lee first.
The coal miner's glove is on a 10-foot pole. The heavyweight title's on the line. Primetime Brian Lee on his way to the ring with his manager, Tammy Fitch.
You know, I've heard things about this. People have talked about it. A coal miner's glove match. Now we actually have to have one. I can't believe we have to be associated with something that a filthy, dirty, disgusting, greasy coal miner is associated with. I can't believe this is actually happening. But you know, Tracy Smothers will, even though he loves me, he can't resist me, but you know, after this match, he won't be able to try to molest me anymore. He won't be able to try to attack me anymore. He won't even be able to walk anymore after Brian gets through with him. But I won't have to worry about this match because Primetime will take care of it.
That's exactly right, darling. You know, Tracy Smothers, it all comes down to this. We've been beating around the bush. You've been talking about the belt. You've been talking about my manager. The bottom line is you want what I have. I'm 6'8". I'm going to reach up on that coal miner's pole, grab the glove right off there, knock you out. But we also go back to this, Tracy. This is my manager, Tammy Fitch. You're a pervert, and you're mad. You're jealous of Primetime Brian Lee, and you can't have her, and you can't have this belt. So after tonight, when I jack that jaw with that coal miner's glove, it's out 1, 2, 3. And then once again, Tammy Fitch and Primetime Brian Lee will walk out victorious.
All right, let me go first before y'all here. This is what pisses me off about today in this sensitive society we live in. Wrestling is performance, whether you want to realize it or not, but it's also
fighting.
Thanks a lot,
Vince.
It's also fighting. And it's also two athletes beating the shit out of each other. There is nothing wrong with Tammy said here as far as the performance goes. She's calling Tracy a pervert. He molested her. This is some really good shit, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
as far as heel work goes. And I hate the fact that you'll never, ever see it now, because we live in a society that just doesn't allow it. It really sucks, because you'd have somebody out there who would be like, oh, that offends me. She shouldn't go. You see what I'm saying, Harper? It's like, come on, man. Can we not? You know, this is, it's wrestling. Now, if she was filming a movie, this would be fine. You could do this in a movie all day long. You could do this on a TV show all day long. But because it's wrestling, all of a sudden it's not allowed. You know, in a publicly traded company like WWE. But that was my thoughts here. I thought Tammy was good. I thought Primetime Brian Lee was good. He gave us a lesson on his height for the first time in a while, but I can go with that. Harper, your thoughts on this first?
This promo is one of the reasons why we don't watch the shit that's on now. You just don't see this shit anymore. This is fucking entertaining, calling him a fucking pervert.
Right.
Imagine someone on fucking Raw calling Seth Rollins a fucking, you fucking pervert.
Right. You pervert. You molest. She said molested. That's the thing. She used the term molested.
You molested me, you fucking Michael Jackson motherfucker.
That's one of those dog whistle words.
Right. So I immediately saw it, and my first reaction was, damn, Tammy, that's some pretty good heel shit, man. You're really digging in with that.
Yeah.
And then I thought in my mind, that's some shit we ain't never going to see no more, because we live in a PC society. And
hashtag WWE me too, bro.
Or you get some outlaw promotion that thinks they're doing something good, but it's just cheap heat.
And here's the problem. You get a small promotion that does that, and people go, oh, that's distasteful. So while the WWE won't do it.
It is distasteful. I like distasteful things.
It's distasteful, but this is what I hate about trying to be politically correct when it comes to wrestling. If you are an old school wrestling fan, it is the most unpolitically correct shit you'll ever find. And that's what made it great. Now we got homogenized fucking, you know, 2% milk. I'm sorry, skim milk that they roll out there instead of fucking whole fat milk. Bunch of bullshit. Mm-hmm. Doc, what were your thoughts on Tammy and Primetime Brian Lee?
Me?
Yeah.
In hindsight, I wish we hadn't have played their promo earlier, because I thought it was better than this one. But this was good. I mean, it was okay. It was, you know, it works.
All right, so you want to roll to Smothers then real quick?
Yeah.
All right, so here's Tracy Smothers right before the match. He's being interviewed. It comes, if you're watching along, it comes right after Tammy and Primetime Brownlee. Here it is.
Fans, it's Fire on the Mountain 93, and I'm here with the wild-eyed Southern boy, Tracy Smothers. Tracy, tonight it's Coal Miner's Glove match, and glove on a 10-foot pole, you and Primetime Brownlee.
You got that stuff right. Fire on the mountain, lightning in the air. The stakes are really high, but I just don't care. The light's on, but nobody's home, man. Tammy Witch with a capital B. You slapped my face. You spit. You sprayed that stuff in my eyes. You caused me to lose the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title because you gave that black glove to my former protege, Primetime Pretty Boy Prima Donna Brian Lee. Well, now I've asked for a coal miner's glove match. Brian, you call me a country bumpkin. You're right. I am. You call me a redneck. You're right. You call me a hillbilly. You're right. I'm all the above. Never said I wasn't. I'm the wild-eyed Southern boy, often imitated, never duplicated. I know what a coal miner's glove can do, buddy. And I know how to climb a tree and get one, son. I know how to go in that mine and get it. Well, I'm going to scale that thing like Tarzan, and I'm going to knock you into the next area code. And Tammy Witch with a capital B, if I get my chance, I'm going to bend you over my knee and whoop your butt like your mama should have done a long time ago. Fire on the mountain. The time for talking's over. I'm going to be on you like a duck on a June bug, and y'all going to look like a couple of rats trying to find a corner in a silo. And by the good grace of God and the support of the fans and just a little bit of lady luck, I'll be the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion for a third time.
Oh, boy. Oh, I mean, Doc, you go first this time.
What do you mean, oh, boy? I thought he was fantastic right there.
Yeah, that was great.
I thought that was awesome.
He's quoting rhymes and shit at the beginning.
First off, it's from the Fire on the Mountain song, pal.
Okay. I was popping left and right.
And you know, he had a few catchphrases, which, all right, were at the big show. But, man, when he was just like You call me this? That's what I am. Dude, he is one of them. He's their leader.
Mm-hmm.
And he was fired up and he's ready to roll, dude. That was great.
It was good. I'm not laughing because it was bad. It's just when he started rhyming, I was like, all right, Sir Mix-a-Lot. Keep it going, Trace. Oh, boy. Harper, your thoughts.
Yeah, man. He said, yeah, I'm a fucking redneck. You know what? And that's going to fucking help me out because then he knows something about a coal miner's fucking glove. He can climb that fucking post because he's a fucking dumbass redneck. This is any other fucking day for him.
Right. Right.
Fuck you.
This is Tuesday, pal. I'm good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, I am with you. I can't add anything else. You guys summarized it well. We'll go to the match. It's Tracy Smothers versus Primetime Brian Lee. Coal Miner's a glove on a pole match for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling heavyweight title. The match is over 20 minutes long if you watch it in real time. We get about 7 minutes on a telecast. I'll recap the end here real quick. So with a little help from Tammy, Primetime Brian Lee gets the glove off the pole, but Tracy Smothers throws a beautiful drop kick to Primetime Brian Lee when he comes down off the pole. I thought that drop kick was exceptional. I want to stop there for a second. Did you think the same, Doc?
Yeah, and so that's a coal miner's glove?
Is that an oven mitt? Y'all talk about the coal miner's glove. Go ahead. Well, Harper sent me a text that said that same thing, Doc.
Wrapped in aluminum foil. No wonder y'all get black lung.
Yeah, like those fucking astronaut blankets.
Maybe the coal industry wouldn't have gone out of business if y'all had tools that actually worked and y'all could extract enough coal to like make some money picking it up with those damn things. No wonder y'all went out of business.
You're an asshole. Harper, your thoughts on the glove? It is. Your thoughts on the glove, Harper?
I was disappointed about the glove because I Googled what the old school fucking coal miner's glove looked like, and it was this big old heavy looking leather glove with this like metal shit going across the knuckles, like something you'll see in fucking Mad Max or something. And that's what I thought it was going to be, and it was a goddamn a fucking space shuttle fucking oven mitt.
You know those people in that audience knew the difference. They may not know how to spell their name,
yeah,
but they know the difference in a goal.
That might have been the kind that they had in the Smoky Mountains at the time. That might have been what it looked like.
And that's why they went.
But that doesn't look intimidating.
Well, that's the thing with a coal miner's glove match. I mean, if you saw a coal miner's glove now, if you Googled one now, I remember Mid-South, it was like a leather-looking thing. But even then, it didn't look intimidating.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was they would sell it as – I can remember Bill Watts on commentary or JR on commentary selling it saying, you know, that thing's got the leather and it's got that loaded knuckle. So when you get it and you start hitting the guy with it, it really does some damage and knocks him out. So I knew that. I just thought, okay, it's a shiny-looking coal miner's glove. I guess it's kind of what they look like during that time period. I didn't really think about it that much. But here's the thing about a coal miner's glove match. You couldn't do a coal miner's glove match now. It's just nobody's going to believe it.
No one knows when the hell that is.
Right. Well, not only that, everybody's going to be like, the problem is when you hit a motherfucker with a coal miner's glove, you could really fucking do some damage. Like, all it takes is one punch, and they're dead. They're not hurt.
What makes a coal miner's glove so devastating?
It's got that shit in the knuckles. And look, I don't know. I'm going to have somebody from the Smoky Mountains correct me on this, which is fine because I'm not from the Smoky Mountains. You know, we hunted fucking alligators and tried to catch crawfish and shit.
You try to get them to buy a shirt or give us a 5-star review or become a patron, you won't hear from these fucking hillbillies. But you start talking about coal miner clubs, your inbox is going to blow up.
So it's got these, the knuckles are like loaded with lead or steel or whatever. So if you hit somebody with that fucking thing, you're going to do some damage. That's what a coal miner's glove is. So it would fucking hurt somebody. Anyway, we'll keep going with the match. So, Smothers throws a beautiful dropkick on Primetime Brian Lee that Primetime Bryant Lee's great-great-grandkids will feel. Everyone's excited because Tracy picks up the glove, and he nails Primetime Bryant Lee. So Bryant Lee is out cold, but out of nowhere, Dirty White Boy comes in. He hits Smothers in the back with a folding chair. Smothers goes down. Dirty White Boy rolls Primetime Bryant Lee on top of Smothers. Referee sees it. Counts to three. Primetime Bryant Lee wins to retain the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight title. Primetime Bryant Lee is knocked out still. He is in the ring, and he isn't moving. Smothers is pissed. Smothers attacks Dirty White Boy on the outside. Then Tracy comes back, and he starts spanking Tammy. Again, something you won't see on TV. But he is attacked. He being Tracy Smothers is attacked by Dirty White Boy and Primetime Bryant Lee, who put Smothers in a figure four. And that's when they go to damaging Tracy's knee, setting up the next angle that we'll see. Mark Curtis gets on the mic and says, "Leave Smothers alone or there will be a lifetime ban for both of you." When and then Dirty White Boy and Primetime Bryant Lee let up on the figure four.
I had no idea that's what his voice sounded like.
Because you never heard him speak.
He sounded like he was 10 feet tall and fucking bulletproof, bro. I was thinking, who is that? Who is that? And I was like, that's the fucking ref?
Yes. The voice did not match the body.
No.
Yeah, voice didn't match the body. So there we are with that. All right. So with that said, Doc, I'll throw it to you. What were your thoughts on everything we went through there?
Wow. Is there ever a damn title match that Dirty White Boy doesn't get involved in? Going back to the very first title victory when he jumped in with Orndorff and Brian Lee. He's always involved.
Yeah, he does get involved a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Dude, Tammy is a heel magnet. You see the people, first of all, during the match, not like her. And second of all, the reaction when she got her ass banked.
Oh, they went nuts. They were
you
get that slut and that whore.
Well, it's hard to know.
In
this part of the country, it's hard to know if they're really happy to see her get her comeuppance or they just like the fact that a woman's getting beat, you know?
Wow.
What?
That was asshole douche comment of yes. That was wrong. Come on, bro.
That was wrong. Now I've crossed the line. Oh,
I mean, it is what it is.
I thought this was a great match, as much as anything up a pole can be. And then it got better in the aftermatch shenanigans, and I say in a good way. So they took the title match, which they did well, and improved upon it, and spiderwebbed more angles out of it. And that's, my friends, is how you keep the territory popping.
Harper, what did you have from it? Anything else?
Dude, when they bent her over, he may not have fucking won the belt, but those fuckers went home happy.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do it.
Okay, so what are the odds that was the only time she was quote unquote bent over that night?
That's nice.
That's real classy.
Hey, I've said
that's
it before.
That's real classy, man.
And I'll say it again. We think Sunny is listening out there. She's a Hall of Famer. She's a natural to the business, and I love her more than the two of you combined. So there you go.
I don't know about that. I love her too. I love me some Sonny. I love Sonny back then, and I love Sonny now. I'm not like you.
Me?
Yeah.
Who?
I told you that yeah. I'd rather. Let's see. I don't know how to say this the right way.
Mm-hmm. Say it.
Bang her now rather than then.
Yeah, I agree. I'm on board with that one, there, pal.
Yeah, Harper just thinks she's gonna toot on you.
Harper, make the sound. How do you guys go off?
What?
When she farts while she's doing it?
How's it go?
I can't do it like you.
With the
that's nice, Hopper. Leave Tammy alone. Tammy's a nice girl.
I know, huh?
Tammy, if you're listening, we love you. We invite you on. Hey, Tommy Noe, I know you're listening to this. Can you swing that? You think, I know you and Tammy are still good friends to this day. You know, tell Tammy we love her, and we'd love to have her on the show sometime and talk some Smoky Mountain. And, you know, we'll keep it clean and respectful, obviously. We just like to have fun. It's all a work anyway. And with that said, so that all finishes up. Primetime Brian Lee is still the champion. After the match, we get a promo from Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy. Here that is.
A shocking incident here at Fire on the Mountain. Tracy Smothers has been hurt. He's being attended to by the first aid crew. We don't know how bad Tracy Smothers is hurt at this time. And here they come, Primetime Brian Lee and Tammy Fitch.
Yeah, I knew there wouldn't be a problem. I knew Brian would win. There was no doubt about it. But yeah, I was right. Tracy Smothers is a woman beater. I mean, I know he loves me and he can't resist me, but he's a woman beater. He beat me right there. Everyone saw. You know? I can't believe he did that.
Tracy Smothers, not only now am I still the heavyweight champion, but now I've also collected the $20,000 that Mr. Ron Wright put up. Because after what we've done to Mr. Tracy Smothers tonight, you'll no longer wrestle in Smoky Mountain again.
Hey, Tracy! Wait a minute. What do you mean you collected the $20,000? I did the damage. I collected the $20,000.
Uh-oh. One second. I was in the match with Tracy Smothers.
Yeah, he was in the match. Brian was in the match.
Shut up, little lady. No woman talks to me like that. Well, you understand me?
Hey,
and furthermore, hey, I'm the man that's going to collect the $20,000, not you.
Don't talk to my lady like that.
Lady, you're right.
Well,
shooting at the end. Lady, yeah, right.
About to be some smoke up in the city up in this motherfucker at the end right there.
There's Harper. No honor among thieves, if you will.
Harper, what'd you think of this?
It sounded like typical heel shit. The two bad guys got together, fucking knocked out, but then it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Who gets the fucking $20,000?
They went from teeth and gums and having a good time and smiling and shit to celebrating to, nah, pal. What you talking about? Your money. You know? I'm the one who did the damage, bro. So
that'll happen if you start messing with my $20,000.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. What do you got, Doc?
Dude, it's on now because you ain't going to get... What will these criminals do for $20,000 to each other?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And here's the other thing. We don't even know what Ron's got to say about it because he's not there to tell us. So we got to wait a week to figure out what he thinks.
That's right. Where the hell was he at?
Just wait. There is some gold coming with Ron Wright as it pertains to this. Oh, my. I mean... I'm not going to sit there and oversell it like it's the best thing he does in the promotion because he's did so much great stuff, but it gets the way Ron is weaved into this, I pop a few times. So there's some fallout coming. All right. Anything else from either of you on this real quick?
No.
All right. This sets things in motion with another angle as we move forward. Now, I will play this real quick. It's about a 40-second soundbite. It is Les and Dutch closing out the show from Fire on the Mountain. Here it is.
Fans, it has been a wild, wild hour. Wow. And you haven't even seen half of what the fans saw here live tonight. We hope to have further word on Tracy Smothers' condition coming up next week. A lot of wild action tonight, Dutch.
And without Jim Cornette, who may be in a hospital, some issues were settled. Some were just getting started, but regardless, it's always wild in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. So tune in next week for more action and an update on Tracy Smothers.
But before we close, I will also mention, you know, things aren't totally right with the Dirty White Boy and Primetime Brian Lee. And of course, Ron Wright has to make a decision on that bounty. But he's right. Stay tuned next
interesting.
Week. Exactly.
Interesting.
Dutch, it's been a pleasure working with you.
Thank you.
Tune in next week for more exciting action and an update on Tracy Smothers.
We got some heavy stuff there. Doc, any thoughts on the closing thoughts from Les and Dutch?
No closure, only more questions.
Yep.
Exactly.
Which is Wrestling 101.
Mm-hmm.
101. This is how it's done. Doc,
leaving them engaged.
Leaving them engaged, and you got to come back for more to see what happens from here. This is how you
do
it. Doc, you sent me a text yesterday. You were rewatching this, and you said Smoky Mountain's back. You want to elaborate on that real quick for a second?
Well, we have been in what we've all sort of referred to as the lull, and you have a theory that's like you can't be hot all the time because then you're just, that's the new normal.
Yeah.
So, we've been down, not bad, but down in the valley a little bit, dude. We're out now, dude. We're climbing to the mountaintop where we can see all of what Ron Wright has bestowed upon us down in the valley. So,
yeah. Pretty much.
Time, all right, let's give out some checks.
You go first this week.
Me?
Yeah.
Dude, this show was stacked and packed, huh?
I know, huh?
Stacked. Everybody who got in the ring, because this is a big card, was really good. And it was big name matches across the board. So there was no squash matches, no enhancement talent. This was all 50 minutes of your prime players. On top of that, you brought Sullivan back in. Boss Man debuted. Man. Title match. That's a lot of stuff going on. I'm going to put this into the Doc Special Wrestling Calculator. Hold on. Carry the one. Add that two. I'm going to say 9.1.
Hard to argue that. I'll go next. I stopped short of giving it a 9.5, but I didn't feel like a 9 was going to do. So I went 9.25 for all the reasons Doc said. Mainly reason I gave it a 9.25 was that very end. If you listen to Les and Dutch and you saw that final match, the great part about pro wrestling is when you got good storytelling. And what you just saw, we're going to be playing out now for a little while at the very end. So
we got something to do.
There's a lot of meat on the bone right now. The bone was not real meaty for a while. It was good, don't get me wrong. But now you got a turkey leg right now that's full of meat. And that's where I'm at. Harper, what did you give it?
I'm giving this shit a 10. Fuck y'all.
I love Harper. All right. I mean, I ain't arguing it. This was good. Harper, didn't this episode throw it up a notch?
Fuck yeah, it did. I mean, you had fucking Big Boss Man out there, had a fucking title match. You had what's her name getting fucking spanked.
So what are you going to give?
I didn't think we saw the fucking Rock and Roll Express.
But what are you going to give next week? A 10.5? Shit.
Oh, we got to see.
Okay, that's a good point. Mike, why don't you tell these people how they can become a patron?
Before I do that, they never tell us who wins Rage in the Cage. I don't know if you realize that.
Don't need it.
So while you're considering becoming a patron and going to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron, where you can get access to all the patron content, the world-class championship wrestling shows, which are very good, and we're really getting some good feedback on those, you can access all the patron content there. Again, sign up, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. $2 a month. Come on. That's $24 a year. Just don't order one less pizza a year. There you go, and you've got it covered. So, but anyway, I appreciate all the patrons and whatnot. But you can access all the patron content if you just sign up. But they never mention Rage in the Cage. So let me tell you who won. The Rock and Roll Express and the Armstrongs did win Rage in the Cage when Cornette, the key is Cornette, was forced to submit by Bullet Bob. So there's that. Now, also remember, they had Rage in the Cage, but at the top of the show, we were talking about the K-Town Showdown that took place August 20th. So they never really show anything from it on the weekly TVs. They don't show anything this week, and they really don't show anything next week. They show what happens to Jim Cornette as far as him being injured, but they don't show why. So I researched it, and here's what I did find out what happened, along with the attendance figures from K-Town Showdown August 20th of 1993. Reported attendance was 2,780 people. Wade Keller reported that this was the highest attendance in Smoky Mountain history, surpassing 2,000 paid people April the 9th of 1993. Now, if you don't remember, April the 9th of 93 was a bluegrass brawl that featured the Four Corners match where Tracy won the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title from Dirty White Boy in that chain match. That was a great finish. And Harper, that was the match that had Arn, the Rock and Roll, Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies against a stud stable with Dutch, where there was tires and all kind of shit in the ring, where Robert Gibson climbed up the basketball goal and fell off. So This card, the K-Town Showdown that never makes TV, is actually the highest attended event in Smoky Mountain history to date. 2,780. So almost 2,800 people watched it. So I wanted to bring that up. Here's another additional nugget you probably don't know of. WCW was in Knoxville, where the K-Town Showdown was, the month prior, with Flair on the card, and they only drew 375 people.
That's fucking crazy.
Nuts.
Jesus Christ.
That's insane is what it is. So, there were
some
results.
That ain't even close to half.
Not 375. Now, I don't know who else was on the card. Maybe somebody out there will look it up and they'll be able to tell me. But I wanted to point that out before we kept going. Now, the rest of the K-Town Showdown card was Bobby Blaze versus the Dirty White Boy. If y'all remember, they talked about that on the TV. If Bobby could last 10 minutes with the Dirty White Boy, Bobby would win. And, you know, Bobby did. He lasted the time limit. Thus, he won $1,000 because I think it was $100 every minute. So Bobby beats Dirty White Boy, although it never airs. Tim Horner did beat Chris Candido in a Loser Must Wear a Diaper match. So that match did happen. Didn't air. Smoky Mountain Wrestling champ Primetime Brian Lee did pin Mongolian Stomper. Big Boss Man pinned Kevin Sullivan in a Singapore Spike match. I bet that was pretty damn brutal. The Bruise Brothers won a Four Corners Tag Team match. And then lastly, Bob Armstrong did pin Jim Cornette in a Lumberjack with Tennis Rackets match. Remember, if Bullet would have lost, he would have had to refund everyone in the building. So there you go. They had 2,800 people. I bet you that it contributed to why so many people showed up. The Big Boss Man was a special referee. Not only did Bullet Bob pin Cornette, but Cornette was busted open really good and was spike pile drove before he lost. Just so you know, as a bonus, this match is on the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Fire on the Mountain video that was released, and you can find it on YouTube. Just search Fire on the Mountain 1993. It's at the very end of it. Cornette was carried out on the same stretcher or gurney and put in the same ambulance that Bullet Bob was a few months back when Cornette fucked over Bullet Bob in Rage in the Cage. So Bob got his revenge, and I point this out because of what we'll see next week when Cornette when we see what happens with Cornette. There's your teaser for next week. So I said a lot. Doc, I emailed you this so you'd have it. Did you have any thoughts?
I just figured that Bobby, with $10,000, went back to Ashland and was the richest guy in 1,000. I thought it was $1,000 for every minute.
I thought it was 100 every minute. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, either way, he went back and is the richest guy in Ashland.
Okay. Any other thoughts on those matches?
They sound hot, dude. This promotion's pretty good. I'm glad I decided for us to review this thing.
Okay. Harper, any thoughts from you on on those results?
Brett, I got to go back and watch it, but it sounds fucking great, huh? How much does fucking tickets to this cost?
Probably $10 at the most.
Pretty sure you could have got a $10 ticket to this thing, which with inflation is only probably going to be $13-14 now.
Nah, with inflation it puts you probably like a little over 20, like
I
at
don't
20.
Know, Doc.
Oh, really?
You think?
Yeah. But still, dude, I pay $20 to see this shit on the front row. I pay 40. I pay 60.
Yeah, for so real,
I
huh?
I pay 60, so I don't have to sit by anybody.
That's nice. Oh, that's nice. You know what?
He was some lucky fucking shitheads to be able to watch this shit live, huh?
That card especially.
Well, they are, but I
Doc,
mean,
yeah. $10 in August of 1993 is $17 in today's money.
Closer to 20, like I said.
Okay. Just saying. So $17, I'd pay that. Shit, yeah.
Yeah, for real, dude.
It's $1 and I can watch this thing in peace.
Yep. All right, so with all that said, we do have to give out some government cheese. I do have to mention, look, Doc, as of today, we are 32 five-star reviews away from the BTT Army Women episode.
So by the time it comes out, by the time people hear this, we'll probably
y'all
only
be
need
fucking
like,
divorced.
Probably, but we'll probably see. Only need one or two more, so you want to get in there when you hear this, and yeah. Put in a review so that you can be the person that gets us over. Maybe we should have the person that hits the 200th review. Harper will give him a call. and say thanks.
Well, yeah, I'll call him up, and they can fix my fucking sound bar. I bet fucking Tim Maselli could probably do it.
Tim he calls in to thank him, and it turns into an IT tech call.
That's awesome. I want to holler at Joe Stassi from Old School Pro Wrestling Lives too. I haven't mentioned him in a while. Go check out his page on Facebook. It's some good stuff. And then I want to say Pro Wrestling Tees. Look, check the links in the show notes. Go buy some t-shirts, man. We'd really, really appreciate it. It's some good stuff we got up there. 5 t-shirts. And you got the T Public store. That's also up there as well. In the links, just check them. There's about 8 different designs now. The Docaholic t-shirt design is there. So check it out. Follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. And then on Twitter, at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. All right. Government cheese time. This is hard because I want to give it to something in the Tracy versus Primetime Brian Lee match, but it's kind of hard to give it to one person. I gotta give it to the heels because they were a package on that. So I want to say like Dirty White Boy Tammy and Brian Lee, I think, is gonna get mine here because of what they did at the end. Doc, who are you giving yours to?
Close. But I am going to get single somebody out. Winning their first cheese since their debut, I'm giving it to Sunny.
Her name's Tammy. She's, but anyway.
Whatever.
Okay. All right.
So she was a heat magnet in this episode, and she cut a great promo at the beginning and in the middle, and then she got out there and got spanked.
Harper said it right, bro. Those people went nuts when she fucking won.
Yeah,
good
bro.
Lord. I mean, not one. When she got spanked. Oh, my God. They went nuts. Harper, what do you get? Who are you giving it to?
You know, I was going to just give it a fucking Cornette just for booking all this shit and to make all of this fucking happen because every match was fucking great. But out of all of it, I think that Sonny selling the fucking slapping on the ass and all of that, I think that was like one little step higher. Then
dude,
fucking
the way she
kicked
her legs when she got put on.
Yeah.
On, dude, she.
She was like a cockroach that got sprayed. Mm-hmm.
I love it. All right. So I gave it to Primetime Brian Lee, Dirty White Boy, and Tammy for their combined efforts there. And you two gave it to Tammy. So we were all kind of close and almost on the same page. This was a hell of an episode. Doc gave it a 9.1. I gave it 9.25 disability checks. Harper gave it a 10. Good shit. And to Doc's point, Smoky Mountain is back. We're at the top of the roller coaster at this point, if you ask me. All right, let me holler at some people. I do want to thank the Hall of Fame patrons at 945 Sports Beat, aka Big Rich, Jesse Lucas, Joe Ice, at MPRU83, LS, RE Miller 39, at Justin_Andretti, at JShiny21, at Natural Hacksaw, at Thin Man Within, Slider 91 US, at Shep Daddy 32, at USC 49er Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at TOG 94, at SV Pajam, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Arecci, Coldman 822, aka Cody Bryant, at Gobbled Unreal, and at Unconvinced Ray. Thanks for being Hall of Fame patrons. And then I want to say, hey, check out the Amazon referral link, tinyurl.com/BTTAmazon. It's a great way to support the show on an ongoing basis. You can buy anything and everything via Amazon, so we'd appreciate it if you'd use our referral link. And then I want to say thanks to the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. One show a week they're doing these days, every single Monday. Just search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from, or the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing with Brian Malonis, who is now working for ROH, basically full-time. Tag teaming with the Beer City Bruiser. He's got his own podcast along with Mike Crockett. They do their stuff every Monday. Good stuff. They do some classic stuff these days. Not really a lot of current stuff. Every now and then they do, but not always. Harper, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Nope. Let's go.
All right. I'm assuming Doc doesn't. Doc, you got anything?
Nah, man.
Harper, hit the tagline. Take us home.
Bucket, bitch.